Let's get started. This is Stefan. He's going to tell you about protect your data objects, not your network connections. Please give him a warm welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation, Fostem, and for the organization. I'm here again, like last year, with Eliza and Marvin, our colleagues. A couple of while ago, I talked to Eliza, and we talked about our IT architecture, so we wanted to explore a little bit about our business capabilities, wanted to explore about the impact from any legal things that could be upfront, and we were discussing some cloud strategies, and then suddenly Eliza interrupted me and asked me, have you seen Marvin lately? So I just gave him a few things to do, to increase our efficiency, and I asked her, what exactly was that? And she said, well, we just wanted to move some of our processes to the cloud. So that's very easy. You just move that box over there. Then we wanted to have this digital twin data, sensor data, because we wanted to improve our product with the data from our production line. The third item was that we wanted to have some cloud analytics for our factory to have some predictive maintenance data. And last but not least, we wanted to receive data from the supply chain, and we wanted to actually also give back data to the supply chain. Not speaking about software updates, which is another topic. So, I was a bit afraid what you all gave to Marvin, and maybe you can answer, how long would it take you to apply all those changes? 1 week? Hands up for 1 week. I'm glad it works out as in my demo. 1 month? Okay, last option, 1 year. It's the only last option. So last week we had the chance to catch up with Marvin, and Eliza pointed out it's actually important that we would like to have this happening in 1 week, because that's the business agility. So that is what in the end defines if your company survives or not. And data interactions are the driving factor actually in the future. It's wrong to take a look at anything different. And a switch to a different service provider should be very easy. And then we asked Marvin, so what do we need to change? And he said, okay, so if you look at this picture, then what is clear is that the trust perimeter has changed. So before we were used to define zones where everything was secure. That doesn't exist anymore, because our fragmented information and information flows and interactions are far more versatile than they have been until now. So a device produces and consumes data at the same time, and there are different data owners on each device that we are using. So actually you have to be able to do authentication and authorization throughout your whole landscape. The concept behind this, that is zero trust. So you define your trust levels for much smaller groups or even for data objects. And by looking at data objects, you're getting a fine-grained view of your enterprise. And fine-grained view means, last but not least, you can minimize your risk on a better base. Those dots they remind me of when I was a child and when I played Lego. And that's actually true, because if you would like to then combine data or push out data, you are actually able with zero trust to combine them in that way by just defining access policies. So it's a different view on your architecture that enables you to include usage control and to do access policy automation. So you are able to use different access policies to control where your data is flowing in your company. That is actually something that you should avoid. So security gateway that is not securing anything. But you can mix your trust efforts or your zero trust efforts with looking at your IT architecture. And then you can create a map. Most probably, most of the information that you need for it is already available. It's just spread out and not put together in a way that everybody can see it, can have a look at it. There's a second concept named data networks that we find very interesting. In the old world, we were used to the so-called hourglass model. So we are centered everything around our IP connections. And on this IP connection, on this IP address, I know that there is a certain data type or a certain resource. So everything has to go through this IP, and we need to address IPs and so on. And this is our abstraction layer. The IP address is our abstraction layer. But for our data-centric world, it's not suitable anymore. The named data network architecture takes into account that 90% of our data is coming from streaming services, so one sender and multiple receivers. And instead of using the IP as the abstraction layer, you can also use a name. A data chunk, a name of a resource. And that is a little twist, but actually it is possible. So it's a new hourglass model. The IP address is not important anymore, and security becomes a first citizen. Becomes very important. How can a receiver see what kind of data he would like to have? He has a name, and so he first sends out an intent to retrieve the data, and then he gets the data from the publisher. Why security is improved? Because the sender can always put a signature around his data, so a receiver can see there are now two or more sender, and he can decide which of them are most trustworthy. That's one part. Another part, which is not so easy, is multi-party encryption, because you could have several receivers. That is something that you will need. And I want to mention that also there are a couple of more projects dealing with new architectures like CoSIA, and I put a link up here so that you can compare the security architectures of these different, of these new approaches as well. So that's it from my side. Eliza and Marvin are still happy, and they are still in action, and they are happy to support you with anything that comes up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, some questions? Anybody?
Oh.
Last chance. Okay, it's not really the last chance. Probably afterwards you can reach out to them and get those questions answered. Thank you.